say goodbye. I'm not always polite, but I get the job done. Who says the work can never be fun? I'm simply unprofessional.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby. Joining me tonight, we got Devin.
Hey, everybody. I'm Devin. I exist.
Devin.
Yes.
Because we are, as you used to put it, goddamn professionals here on Simply Unprofessional. And obviously, We have a vast, you know, library of held back episodes waiting to be released. We are at least forward thinking on this, and by the time this comes out, this should be out. I'm thinking the like July 5th. So happy 4th of July. I hope your 4th of July was fantastic.
It wasn't terrible at all. Actually, it was not terrible.
Nope.
It was mostly a day of me laying around the house doing absolutely nothing. People tried to get me to do stuff, and then I laughed in their face.
That's how every day is for me.
So they were like, hey, don't you want to go to this barbecue cookout? I'm like, can you bring back a plate? Sure, then no.
Yep, that sounds exactly like me.
Can you bring back a plate? Sure.
Why would I want to go then?
I mean, exactly. Like, I get to be home by myself and relax and watch some TV, watch some Stranger Things.
Yep.
These things are better than what being asked of me right now.
Why go out in public when delivery is an option?
I got delivered food earlier, which, I mean, I'm going to argue and say probably not like the nicest thing to do to somebody on like the holiday time, but you know what? It's not really. Hey, I don't care.
You know. Oh, that brings me to another point. So
I got rained on earlier. I got rained on which guy? That wasn't too bad, but.
Devin.
Yeah, sure.
Petco.
Oh, boy.
We're adding Petco to our list of names. Right there next to Karen from Subway.
Yep.
Okay. And what's his face from GNC?
It was GNC in general.
GNC. Okay, so Petco is the second business on our shit list, on the SU shit list. Yes,
that is a true statement. They are racking up, baby.
All right, so for those of you who are wondering, Webby, why Petco? That's where we all go. No, Petco's open on 4th of July. That's not right. Okay, and they're open on every single other godforsaken holiday. Okay, they're open almost every day except for I think Hedquist said like Christmas Day they're closed, and possibly Thanksgiving Day. Okay. So Petco does not celebrate. Now, before all the listeners start jumping down my throat and I start receiving messages on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, listen, this does not mean that I hate Chinese food restaurants, because they never close. They're open on Christmas Day. That's where I get my Christmas dinner.
A lot of Chinese food places, there's a lot of they're celebratory of different holidays. So like, they don't really do 4th of July stuff.
Right.
So it's like, you know, they're open. They're pretty reliable.
But see, we have an inside man there at Petco. Not to name names in case any higher ups at Petco are listening, but his name's Edquist. he blames, you know, the shoppers. It's the fucking consumer's fault. He vented to us earlier. He was like, you know, he has people come in saying, oh, you guys were, I didn't know you guys were open today. It's like, yeah, it's because fucking people like you,
like, why they're actually open. Listen to us for some reason. They're actually gonna listen to us for some reason, and we're gonna get rap fired.
Well, I mean, I didn't use his first name.
I mean, he said his last name, which was arguably worse.
Yeah, but now you've used his first name, and now they're going to be able to piece it together and know that it's Rob Ekquist.
And now you said both. But I'm saying, like, oh, well, if you use his first name, which was just Robert, it's a much more common name than
I mean, Ekquist. It might be regional. Maybe Ekquist is a really common last name in Connecticut. Oh, shit, now they know it's in Connecticut. So, we're just slowly digging Rob's Petco grave.
Oh, boy. Well, oh, boy. It's good times, though. Good times, guys. Good times.
Devin, how you doing?
I'm fine.
So,
Devin, it's all fine.
I wanted to talk a little bit today about a movie that has been recommended to me. And I finally got to sit down and watch it. I know, Kurt, you're going to get excited that I finally got down to watch this. Alita Battle Angel. Or is it Battle Angel Alita? I don't know.
I think the manga is Battle Angel Alita. I think the movie is Alita Battle Angel. But, you know, whatever. Together.
Right. So I finally watched this. No one had to convince me to watch it. No one had to, you know, dare me to watch it or get me to watch it for, specifically for the SU. I did this all on my own. It was intense. I got really excited throughout this movie. I was on a call with our buddy, our SU friend here, Clayton, Mr. Clay, and he had already seen the movie.
I thought you were going to, like, redact his name. I'm like, oh, you say Rob's name, but you're just going to redact Clay's name? Just redact his name over arbitrary bullshit, but you're going to say Rob's name? Like,
yeah. Nah, Clay does not want to be associated with SU.
I mean, that's probably for the best. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever.
I'm not mad about that. Probably for the best, to be honest.
But yeah, I was on a call with him while watching Alita Battle Angel, and... You know, it was one of those things where I'm watching it on one monitor and I'm talking to him and I'd keep asking him questions. And then before he'd have a chance to answer, I'd be like, wait, hold on. They're explaining what I just asked. And then, you know, I'd ask him another question. And sometimes he would answer the question. Other times he'd be like, well, you got to watch.
It was a classic Webby viewing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then every so often I'd ask him a question and he'd go, oh, and I'm like, well, that's a yes. And he's like, shit. but
Clay has a very telltale. Ooh.
Yeah, like, true.
He has a very iconic. Ooh, I don't know.
I mean, that's kind of like when people ask me a question, I'm just like, maybe,
maybe.
But no, he'd start laughing because I'd get up and I'd stand up at my desk and I'd start like yelling at the computer monitor and like cheering her on, the main character. It's been a while since I got that like invested in a movie and like that excited about some of these fight scenes and stuff that were happening. It was a unique experience. And Kurt, I did a bad. I know you warned me that when the bar scene came up, that I should go to the restroom or whatever, because that's when the doggy got hurt. And I was like, okay, well, I just won't watch. So when the bar scene came up, I just turned around to my computer desk, and lo and behold, it's not a visual scene, it's an audio scene. So I heard what happened to the dog. But at the same time, that made the following fight scene that much better, I feel. Okay, so for those of you who don't know what this movie's about or haven't seen this movie, so there's essentially, I'm not going to get into the big lore, like the planetary lore behind it, because I don't want to fuck it up. I'd say just go see the movie. I highly recommend this movie. But
yep.
It's a good movie.
From what I've seen so far, I haven't, full disclosure, despite me being the anime buff, I have not finished a movie yet. It was just one of those movies that I didn't see in theaters, and I just hadn't got around to seeing it yet. So I'd seen part of it and haven't seen all of it.
And so I apologize.
Webby's actually hit the curve for me in this one.
Yeah, I apologize. There will be spoilers here.
And it's been a super long time since I've read it or read any part of it, so I couldn't even begin to break down, like, overarchingly what's going on.
So the fun part here, Devin, for you is because you haven't finished this movie, and I'm going to be the one explaining most of this one. You're going to get to hear my nicknames for things.
I mean, that's fine. That's fine. Can I just do my first of many SU tangents right now?
Sure. Yeah.
Not feeling my current monk that I made in Diablo. Not feeling it. I need to figure it out. Not feeling it.
I will tell you this. I was talking to our own Guy Fieri, Donnie, earlier today.
Happy birthday, Donnie, by the way. I already told you, but I'm going to tell you again. Happy birthday.
It's his birthday week, so hey, it's a week-long celebration, that's all. We were going over the leaderboards and seeing essentially what kind of characters were ranking the highest on the leaderboards for this season. Well, Monk is struggling this season. So isn't Demon Hunter.
So is Demon Hunter?
Yep. Demon Hunter is also struggling this season.
Yeah, this Monk, I'm not feeling it. I'm just really not feeling it. Like, I'm fucking running right now.
That's the thing, is it's so sad to me, too, because, like, okay, the Monk sets are phenomenal, but, like, I really would have thought that with the Legacy of Nightmares buff that Diablo got this season, that mix-matching just some certain legendaries would make for a really interesting Monk build, too. I almost rolled a Monk. It really makes me sad.
Glad I didn't.
Yeah, it really makes me sad that it's not holding.
Have you rolled the Barb this season?
That was my first character.
So what hasn't anybody rolled this season? Or we rolled everything this season? Or has nobody rolled a mage yet?
Nobody's rolled a mage yet. Mages are doing really well this season.
I might roll a mage as a secondary backup character.
I can rush you one.
Yep.
And nobody's run a Crusader yet this season, but I feel like Crusaders might be a little...
I just don't like Crusaders in this game. I just don't. Like, I hate being like that. I just don't. Like, me and Crusaders in this game just do not get along.
Yeah, I love my Crusader in Diablo.
Every Crusader that played in this game, I just can't... I wind up dropping them, like, interest in them, because I just don't like running Crusaders in this game.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Elite of Battle Angel.
All right, Elite of Battle Angel. Diablo, so, spoilers, okay, so essentially the movie starts off, you find out there's like this giant floating city. Okay? And it has like these big, long, what look like cables, but you find out they're tubes that are going down into this, like, the slum part of a city below it. And just like any cool floating city, there's a giant dumpster in the middle that just dispenses trash down onto the... into the slums, and then obviously anytime trash is dispensed, you know people in the slums are going to go and pick through it and try to make something out of nothing. So that's essentially where the movie picks up, is we see Christoph Waltz, who plays, I believe his name is Dr. Ito. I pulled this up for a reason. Dr. Dyson Ito. And he's going through the scrap heaps, and then he sees the head and shoulders of who is going to be soon called Alita. And then you see him pick it up and bring it back to his shop. And as you're watching, you start to realize that almost everybody you see has some sort of, like cybernetics enhancements or whatever done to them. Like, people have like a robot arm, right? Or legs or torso, right? So the whole premise behind that is, so Alita has a functioning, essentially human brain, and then this doctor is able to mend parts and fuse them together so that, you know, you can essentially be a cyborg or I don't know any other word. Cyborg has to be the right word for it. And what kind of threw me off is like it's to the point where their technology is to the point where they even have like feeling, like they can touch things and they have like touch sensors in their robot parts. So the doc gave her a body, and it's like this really well-made ornamental, I guess, robot body. And then she wakes up and she has like amnesia, essentially. She doesn't remember who she is or where she came from or really anything in her past. And then they go out, you know, and he's kind of taking her under his wing and treating her as if, you know, like a daughter, because we find out that the body that he gave her was his daughter's, but his daughter passed away. And while they're out and about, she meets, I don't know this guy's name. I don't even know who the actor was who played him. Hugo. She meets Hugo. Okay. Now, Hugo, the whole movie, Devin, I referenced this guy as Fleshbag Boy. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, there's a reason I did this. Hugo is one of two people in this movie who are 100% human and have no type of mechanical enhancements done to them.
It means he's the best person ever.
It's Hugo, and Dr. Ito is the other person who has no type of mechanical or cybernetic enhancements. So she and Hugo hit it off, and then they start, you know, hanging out a lot, and he teaches her how to play. I call it rollerball, but I know it's not called rollerball in the movie. Shit. I'm going to get yelled at if I don't say this right.
Who the fuck's going to yell at you, Webby? Who's yelling at you?
Fucking nobody's Kurt's going to yell at me if I don't get it right. He's going to start yelling Kurt at me the shit. Real right thing.
I'm about to go hop into a Torment 5 with a fresh made character. Let's do it.
Motorball. Okay, it's called Motorball.
That sounds like the worst remake of the movie Rollerball with LL Cool J, which itself was a remake.
Really?
I actually kind of like that movie.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
I actually kind of like that movie.
Well, we should watch it and do an SU on it.
We totally should.
We should watch a couple movies and do an SU. You know, we should do a live SU where we find it and we'll just watch it together on a call.
And just do a live reaction. We should just post that on YouTube. We should have an SU YouTube channel and just fucking post it on YouTube. Do live reactions.
Yeah, we'll record video of it and we'll post it up on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, there's two rollerballs. There's Rollerball. There's 1975, then 2002, baby.
So, So he teaches her how to do Motorball, which is this weird game. I don't know the real premise of this game. Like, I don't know. Kurt, maybe you can explain to me if you've read the manga, or even Devin, if you've read the manga, if you remember it at all. You have this ball, and, like, you have roller skates that are, like, jet-powered, and you go on this track, and eventually you have to, like, slam dunk this ball into, like, a little hole. But can you throw the ball? And, like, if you get it in the hole, you still get the points? Like, does the ball just... Is it essentially rollerblading basketball? I don't understand. I mean, it doesn't really come up again. Like, the motorball aspect comes up again, but the whole having to slam dunk it for points doesn't. Because later on, she just uses the ball to fucking kill people. It's insane. So, yeah. In any case... She catches wind that there's a killer going around killing women and taking their parts, their mechanical enhanced parts, and selling them, you know, or whatever. So, you know, the doctor tries to convince Alita, hey, you should have a curfew. You need to stay inside where it's safe until, you know, you start remembering stuff and, you know, whatever. But she catches Mr. Dr. Ito sneaking out at night. Interesting, huh? And he's carrying a fucking humongous bag. Like, it's like a giant briefcase.
Wait, what's your signal light?
What's my what?
Your voice connect signal? Mine's like red, and you just kicked Kurt out of here.
I just kicked Craig out of here?
Craig, and I heard it there.
Oh, yeah, Craig is gone. Oh, yeah, mine was yellow, and it just dove into red.
Yeah, mine's red right now. And it just kicked out Craig, so.
Looks like we're going to be having some possible audio issues.
Possible audio issue.
You do sound somewhat mechanical. How do I
sound? I mean, you sound all, you sound, you're sounding, you're going in and out from mechanical to not mechanical. It's back and forth.
Okay.
All right, now I'm back in the green.
I'm back in the green, and you sound fine now.
Let's try to get Craig back in here. It's not going to matter.
Oh, the SU guys, the listeners are finally going to be able to hear Craig if they haven't already before.
Now recording.
Fuck you, Craig.
Yeah, fuck you, Craig.
No one likes you.
Yeah. You're definitely not a battle angel. Go fuck yourself, Craig.
Yeah. All right. So she finds Dr. Ito sneaking out of the house, right? And at this point, I'm like, oh, snap, Clay, is he the guy going around killing me? He can't be. He's not. He does not seem like a bad guy, right? And I told him, I was like, I'm going to be pissed if this guy's the bad guy, right? I want to see Christoph Waltz play a good guy. And he has, like, this massive, it looks like a briefcase on wheels, but it's humongous. And then he starts following this girl. And Alita's following him, and you see he opens up his bag, and he starts constructing this weapon. And when I see it, I was like, oh, what is this, big hammer? And then Clay's like, oh, you're going to like this. And eventually he goes to confront the woman that he's following. Alita stops him, but then they find out it's a trap, and that these people... these real bad guys have tried to trap Dr. Ito, but Alita essentially tries to save him. And then Dr. Ito fucking busts out this weapon, Devin, okay? It's a smaller version, but it's still pretty big on screen. He's got a fucking Reinhardt hammer. He has a giant two-handed fucking war hammer. Spike on one side, rounded blunt on the other, but it has like a fucking rocket propeller on it. Just a jet motor shooting out the back of it. And then he finds out, this is where we find out that Alita can kind of instinctually protect herself. Like she can fight. So she ends up fighting off these guys. There's a lady, another dude who has like weird scythes for weapons. And then there's just this humongous cloaked guy that I kept calling Zangief. The whole movie, I was like, oh, look, it's robot Zangief again. Just because he's proportionally, he looked like Zangief, like just that body style. And so he ends up getting damaged, and he retreats into the sewers. And then I don't remember what happened next. It's all a big blur. But that's kind of where we find out that Dr. Ito is also what they call a hunter. Or a hunter warrior is what they're called. So essentially they're bounty hunters in the slums. And he brings like this head of the lady that he was following to this place. He puts it on the pedestal, and like this little robot head pops up and says, oh, this bounty's worth 20,000 credits. Here you go. And then like a little trap door opens and the head falls in, which I thought was hilarious. I was quite smitten with that part. I was like, oh, man, there's all this cool-ass technology, and you still just have, like, a little flap door. Shit drops in like a fucking garbage chute. Now, on this, we have seen throughout the, you know, up to this point, we have seen another hunter warrior, some dude named like Zapan, which is a really messed up name. Zapan, Z-A-P-A-N.
Okay. You cut out for a second.
Yeah. This guy is pretty much all robot except for his face. Just his face part. His skin. He's got a mohawk, but he has a pretty dope looking sword, which gets referenced later on. Let's see. Wow, the wiki plot on this is really sparse, I should say. Important part during that fight scene before the big Zangief guy went away, as she was fighting him, she started having, like, she had a memory flashback of her mm-hmm. fighting in a war.
Mm-hmm.
And then the doctor runs, like, a scan on her and realizes that she's, like, 300 years old. So she's, like, some ancient technological robot.
Makes sense.
But she's, I forget what they called it, like ERM technology. It's like Martian technology or like it's another planetary technology, far more advanced than what they have. And then Fleshbag Boy, Hugo.
Fleshbag Boy.
Yep, Fleshbag Boy. We find out he's not a good boy, Devin.
He's fine boy. No. I mean, pretty much that follows the rule of any game, of any show or game. If somebody's different than everybody else, then they're bad.
Well, he's not bad, but he's not good. He's not like the big evil guy of the movie.
But he's not a good guy.
But he's not a good guy. And the reason he's not a good guy is because he goes around at night and he tasers people and takes their mechanical enhancements.
Damn it.
Like, he stole one dude's arm that had, like, giant razors on it. And, like, big chain claws. Which Zangief ended up getting as an upgrade.
So did Rocket Raccoon, to be fair. So
true. But this guy did it just for money. Well, so didn't Rocket. I'm not arguing for Hugo anymore. So Hugo's big main thing, and like Alita asks him what his dream is. She does not know that he steals body parts. But he does it to get money so that he can go up to the upper city part. That's, I think it's called Zalem. I don't remember. But apparently, you know, that's where all the muckety mucks live. You know, if you are somebody, you live up there. And that's where his dream is, to just go up there. He doesn't want to be in the slums anymore. They come up with this idea of Alita possibly playing motorball. Because if you're really good at motorball and you can become a champion, the champions are granted access to Zelum, which is the floating city. So I know I'm missing some parts in between here. Maybe the bar fight scene was before this. That's the important part that I want to talk about. But in any case, there's that part. Yeah, anyway, we won't go to the motorball thing. I think that was discussed prior. So Hugo and his friends take her out of the city, which there's like this white mist stuff surrounding the city. Like, it looks like a wall, but it's moving like jets of water or something. And I asked Clay, because they don't really just say anything about it in the movie, but Clay says that at one point was to keep, like, the vegetation out of the city, because the world, like, the vegetation in the world grew so rampant. But then they essentially just killed off the planet, and the planet's pretty barren now, except for some small portions of it. One of the small portions was where Hugo was bringing Alita with his friends. It was like their secret hangout. They found an Erm spaceship, and Alita felt drawn to it. And this is where we find out Alita can't swim, but she doesn't have to, because she dives in the water and she just sinks like a bag of rocks. And she goes onto the ship. She just instinctually, or maybe she just knows how to do things because, you know, she's had to do it, but in her previous life, she finds another body. No head, no nothing, just a body. She carries it out and brings it back to Hugo, or Dr. Ito, and she essentially wants to be transferred onto that body. But Ito is afraid because it's called a berserker.
Mm-hmm.
And he's afraid that if he puts her onto that body, that her neurons or her brain functions will meld with that body and she'll become what the body was, which is a berserker, and she'll essentially just be a killing machine with no sense of remorse or anything like that. So she gets frustrated and she leaves, because he just simply won't do it for her. So she goes and she marches her ass into the hunter warrior place and registers and becomes a hunter warrior herself, and then goes to the hunter warrior bar. This is just a hangout where all the hunter warriors are, apparently. She walks in and Zapan starts like hitting on her, and she just like brushes him off and starts making fun of him. And then eventually, like, he goes to grab her and she just like throws him across the room. And then she asks everybody she gives a pretty decent speech at this point, Devin. And she asks everybody to rally together to help them rid the city of the Zangief guy, like Gruishka, I think is his name. Right?
Okay.
He's like the leader of a bunch of serial killers, essentially. And everybody just starts laughing at her. So then she finally throws down the gauntlet. She's like, all right, listen, I will fight each and every one of you in this fucking bar. And if I win, you help me fight this Zangief guy. And then a massive fucking bar fight, bro, breaks out. We find out that the sword that Zapan guy has is apparently a legendary Damascus blade.
It's my sword.
That's right. There you go. I knew that'd catch your attention. But that's also an Erm technology. It cuts through armor like butter, apparently. It's extremely sharp. And so there's just this massive bar fight. The fleshbag boy is there and he tasers somebody to help out. Ito walks into the bar. He's distraught at the fact that Alita's fighting and that there's a bar fight happening. So literally after this massive bar fight scene, the Dr. Ito guy runs in, says, everybody stop. And no one's paying attention. Everybody's just fighting still. And he's like, no more free repairs. Everyone stops dead in their tracks. So that's the kind of pull that this Ito guy has. And apparently he's the only doctor in the slums who fixes people. So, long story short, on the bar fight, the Zangief guy busts in the front door and then he tries to kill Ito, but Ito gets knocked out of the way, and then he attacks Alita a few times and then provokes her by killing the puppy or killing the dog. And then she goes over, and like, I thought this was paint at first when I saw the pictures of it, but she goes over, she pushes her hand in the dog's blood and makes those red marks underneath her eyes, like the warrior paint.
Mm-hmm.
That's dog blood. I did not know that going into this. I thought that was just paint. The guy retreats into the sewers and she follows him. And then there's a pretty fucking gnarly fight scene down in the sewers. It ends up, you know, he has like these detachable fingers on chains that are like razor blades. He uses them like a whip. And he can like shoot them out like Scorpion on Mortal Kombat.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly. And like the chains themselves have blades on them too. So if like they wrap around you, you get cut just by that. It's a fucking gnarly fight scene. She has the upper hand for most of it. And then he does this thing where he goes to whip all of his fingers at her on these chains. And she's, like, spinning through the air at him in, like, this cool slow-mo fashion. And then he pulls the chains back and you see, like, her legs get cut off. One of her arms gets cut off. Her torso gets cut in half. Like, he just demolishes her in this one pull. And she lands on the ground and he goes over and he essentially grabs her by the hair, picks her up and says, you know what? I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to wear you around my neck. And so I can hear you scream every goddamn day. I'm just going to turn you into a piece of jewelry, which is really fucked up. And then she essentially breaks free of his arm. Cause she still has one arm, okay? It's all she's got. She's an upper torso and an arm.
Nothing wrong with that.
She breaks free of his grip by like karate chopping his hand. She does a handstand. She like crawls away a little bit, and then she does a handstand. And then she pushes herself through the air at him. Drives her one good hand into his eyeball and then into his skull and then breaks her arm off and falls back to the ground as Ito and Fleshbag Boy show up. Fleshbag Boy throws like an incendiary grenade and sets him on fire and he starts running away with her arm still in his eyeball.
I like it. I like it.
So at this point, you know, I'm telling Clay, oh, well, I guess she gets her new body this way. You know, what's Ito going to do? Just throw her in the scrapyard? You know, he's grown attached to this Alita. So lo and behold, Ito takes her back home.
And throws her in the scrapyard.
Puts her, you know, she turns her into a garbage disposal. No, she wakes up and she is attached to her new body, which is like nanotechnology. It actually, like, the body adhered to her and bonded with her. He didn't have to do anything to it. Apparently, the heart inside that body was, like, some... It's essentially, like, the flux capacitor... Or not the flux capacitor. The thing, like, Tony Stark has in his chest.
Mm-hmm.
Ito was telling her, hey, that thing's powerful enough to essentially power this city... for years, you know. But the most important thing about this body is it can withstand, you know, a beating. It's battle ready. It's meant for combat. So then she goes for tryouts at this motorball, right? And then Ito is there trying to support her, made her some armor pads, which I don't think she really needed, a helmet, and some, like, rollerblade feet. So, like, he detached her feet and gave her little rollerblade feet. And went out into the crowd, but then he saw, because he's a hunter-warrior guy, I guess, he noticed that a lot of the people who were in there competing against Alita were either other hunter warriors or people with bounties on their head. And then he quickly pieced together that everybody there was going to try to kill Alita, because before that scene, the big bad offered a bounty of 500,000 credits to anybody who brought Alita's head to him or killed Alita or whatever. Now, the one good thing going into this was the bounty was for whoever kills Alita, so all these bounty hunters and all these other players were fighting each other, too. So she kind of had that going for her. But This is where one of my favorite kills comes from. So she takes off, right? She gets this motorball thing. And she starts, she throws the ball back and hits the guy in the face. And like, she's killing people left and right on this field who are trying to kill her. And then Hugo calls, because Hugo went to go see his buddy and say, essentially quit the whole stealing body parts from people business. But then the Zapan, I'll always forget that guy's name. The Zapan guy met him there and essentially set a bounty on his head and started hunting him through the city. And so he called Alita saying he's going to need help and to meet at the old church. So she went off the track. She like went busting through like essentially like what the Jumbotron was.
Yep. I'm back in red too, by the way. I don't know if you are.
Let me
jump back to green.
No, I'm green. Yeah, I'm green.
So. Okay.
So she essentially she went off the track, jumped through the Titantron, and started skating on this giant pipe that goes through the city, like up above the city, and she's being chased by two remaining people, like some forearm chick who's a hunter and some massive fucking tank dude, okay, and when they finally get off this pipe and they're nearing their destination. She fights this chick, and this chick, like, starts whipping out a chain. She ends up killing this chick, and then she wraps this guy's legs up in a chain, the big, giant, like, titan-looking dude. Wraps this dude's legs up in the chain, trips him, and then throws the other end in this giant grinder that's just somewhere for no reason.
My favorite kind of grinder.
Hell yeah, it's like a giant, like a car-crushing grinder. I don't know if you've ever seen those.
I have.
And the chain is just slowly dragging this guy towards it. Start laughing so hard. That's probably my favorite kill of the entire movie, was that one guy. I was like, oh man, you had to have seen this coming. So then she confronts Zapan. Zapan tells her, as I told Clay, the stereotypical trope, it's a movie, there's a love interest, so you know that something's going to go wrong, and then the love interest is going to have to redeem himself. Zapan informs her that he steals and sells body parts. She gets very upset with him. Still doesn't want Zapan to kill him, though. He says he's going to quit. He apologizes. She instantly loves him again. It's really weird. She takes him, he gets stabbed by this Damascus blade, so he's dying, and she carries him into the church, and now as she's going to the church, there's like these big sentry things, I think they're called sentries, they're like giant tanks with spider legs, and they're apparently really badass, and you're not supposed to really take them on. Because they're the only thing in the city that has guns. Because guns have been outlawed. That's why everybody has like these melee weapons. She finds another doctor, one of the ones who works. I didn't even mention her. Played by Jennifer Connelly. She works up in the for the bad guy, essentially, as they're doing what Dr. Ito does, installing cybernetic parts and stuff. So she comes out holding a coat, uncovers it, shows the head of the flesh bag boy, just the head. I was like, oh shit. The sentries do the scan, say, yeah, you know, all right, confirmed kill, blah, blah, blah. And then Zapan goes to look, and you can see the tubes. There's a couple, like, red and blue tubes that are going from her heart up into this dude's head, like, through the neck hole, I guess, mm-hmm. to keep the brain function alive. Because I guess that's how that works. Just heart tubes jammed up a neck hole will keep your brain alive. Science, people. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know these things. She brings him back to Ito. Ito ends up fitting him and putting his head on a mechanical body. So he's no longer Fleshbag Boy. He is now Major Chief or Master Chief Fleshbag Boy. Because his body, no lie, Devin, I instantly thought of Master Chief from Halo.
I like it.
That's just what it looked like. I don't know why. She goes on a fucking spree. She's super pissed that this is happening. She marches into the Hunter Warrior place where all the sentries are. Oh no, she ends up getting Zanbar somehow. Oh, when Zanbar looked at the head after she brought the head out, he was gonna turn her in. And she fucking took his sword and sliced his face in half. Because he was a little dick. And then took the sword. And the sword actually reacts with her body. And it, like, glows blue and it has other, like, special capabilities or whatever. So she walks into the fucking Hunter Warrior place where there's a dozen of these sentry things. And they all start firing at her. She fucking tears all of them apart with just this sword. That's the part I started fucking really getting pumped up about. She ends up ripping one of the Gatling guns off of one of them and then shoots, like, the main sentry fucking hub with the Gatling gun, blows that up, and then goes and confronts the big bad guy who I don't even know what his name was. I know the main bad guy, but Vector. So Vector is played by, I'm going to murder this name, Mahershala Ali.
Sounds good. Sounds right.
Yeah. You'd recognize him. Let's see, what other movies was he in? I don't know if you ever saw House of Cards. Oh, he was in Luke Cage. Who was he in Luke Cage? He was also the voice of Uncle Aaron in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Luke Cage. I got you. Oh, he was Cottonmouth in Luke Cage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you.
So he played the guy named Vector, but the thing is Vector's not the big bad. The big bad is a guy named Nova who's up in the upper city. And he can kind of control people. Like, he can see through certain people's eyes if they have a chip in their head. And then he can take control of them. Like a puppet. Almost. And every time he takes control of Vector, Vector's eyes go, like, really bright blue. So she goes to confront Vector, and then Zangief shows up. She fucking whoops Zangief's ass, like, hard.
Yeah, she should.
Cuts him in half, literally. Right up the middle. Ends up killing Vector. Has words with Nova, because Nova ends up taking over Vector's body as he's dying, and essentially says, you know, I'm gonna come for you, I'm gonna fucking whoop your ass, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I'm forgetting a very important part, but I'll backtrack at the end. In any case, Hugo ends up there's something bad that happens to Hugo, which causes her to go fucking berserk, and then she decides that she's going to do this legit. She becomes a pro motorball player and she's like a fan favorite now. She's number 99. Mm-hmm. And she, every night she plays, she goes on this pedestal. She looks up at the upper city, and the movie ends with her looking up in the sky, pointing her sword up there. And then it shows Nova for the first time, essentially, who wears like these goggles on his head. Like they look like little welding goggles. That glow blue, mm-hmm. and he's looking down at the city. He takes him off. Fucking Edward Norton. It's Edward Norton is Nova. It's so strange. It's very strange. And he looked really weird. But I did forget one of the coolest parts, and Clay would kill me if I didn't bring this up. The thing that happened to Hugo. Hugo's big dream, and he told her like if he was ever enhanced, he would just climb up one of those one of the pipes, the big lines that go up to the city, because he'd have the strength to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he attempted to go do. And Alita went to go stop him because she had a flashback of her and a battalion of troops going up there. Dude, coolest fucking defense thing ever. Okay? So you have a floating city in the sky, right?
Okay.
Now, on four sides of this, you have these giant tubes that just look like giant wires that drape down, that go down into the city. And, mm-hmm. like, different factories will send goods up the chutes. But to prevent people from doing exactly what Hugo was doing, they were running up the top of the line, and they were going to try to crawl up into the city.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Nova presses a button, right? This ring detaches from the top and starts spinning. And it slides down this line. And it's just this swirling blades of death. And ends up cutting him in half. And he goes and falls off and she catches him. And there's a, she's like holding on to one of his arms. And the arm starts breaking and detaching because his body is shitty. Shitty mechanical body. And then he ends up just falling into clouds because they're that high up.
Yep.
And then you just never see. That happened in the OVA too.
That happened in the animated movie.
There's an animated movie of this?
Yep. It's on YouTube. It's like an hour long.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. So that happened in the movie. But that's the coolest fucking thing is just those sliding rings. Yeah, and then that's essentially the movie, man. Like, I'm sure I left out some stuff, but I covered a lot of it.
You covered a lot of it, you did. That's good.
And yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I will tell you this, I'm going to be very upset if they don't make another one, because they did leave it off in kind of a cliffhanger-y spot.
I know it did well. I mean, so I'm assuming there's going to be another one. It did pretty well, my understanding is. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's based off of manga. The manga, that, I mean... How long's the manga been running for?
I mean, they think the manga's done, I believe.
Oh.
But, I mean, that would make sense. It's an older manga.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I can tell you in a second. The manga ran from 1990 to 1995, so.
All
right. That's done. Dunsies. So, there's a couple spinoffs and sequels. So, like, the Battle Angel Alita Mars Chronicles is still going. So, there you go. So, there's some spinoffs of that. So, there you go.
Well, maybe I'll have to go look at these.
Well, these are all mangas and stuff, so.
Oh, never mind. I'm not going to read anything like that.
So, yeah, I knew you weren't. So, yeah, there's an OVA, Battle Angel Alita OVA. There's two episodes for it. 30 minutes a piece.
You're always the one doing this to me. Let me do something to you real quick.
What are you going to do to me?
I'm going to send you a picture to look at.
Sure. In the middle of a Diablo rift, but I can do that.
Listen, you hurt me.
I said I can do it. I gave you no problem, sir.
So... This is Nova in the movie.
What's so funny?
Just wait until you see this. This is
the villain. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Come on, that looks like the cheesiest villain ever.
I mean, well,
and he's in a white trench coat, like the lab coat.
I mean, he's no more cheesier than he is in the.
I see a picture of him in the comics.
Yeah, I mean, he's no extra cheesier than that. I mean,
well, I don't know. It was pretty rough. But yeah, visual stuff, audio podcast. You're always posting me pictures. I wanted to post you one.
I mean, hey, you know what? They'll learn. If they want to see what we do, then they need to go on to... They need to support us and like push us really, really hard and say, hey, you guys need to make this a weekly Twitch show. And then we'll have a visual platform and we can... put stuff up. We can have a weekly podcast on Twitch. So yeah. if you guys want that to happen and you guys want to be in on these inside jokes, then you know what to do. I gave you all the secrets.
Man, that Zangief guy, man. Glad he got his. He killed that dog. Everybody on here knows how I feel about that.
You love it. No, I'm kidding.
Not true. But yeah.
You're like, I don't get out of bed for less than first degree dog murder.
That's right. Well, everybody, that's all I had.
Yeah.
I watched this movie yesterday. Like I said, it's still relatively fresh in my mind, but I probably jumped around a lot because... I mean, I was on a call with Clay, and I don't know. Oh,
it's all good.
One of the questions that I had that was immediately began to get answered, but never really got answered, was I asked Clay, I was like, how's that city floating? And Dr. Ito's explanation to Alita, because she asked him, how does the city stay floating in the sky, was engineering. That was his explanation. Nothing else.
I mean, that's a fine explanation.
No, it's not. Like, what about the engine? Like, how? Like, mechanically, how is this working?
It's proprietary. You can't tell you.
But I want to know.
But you can't. But like, if you know, then you could replicate it. So you can't do that.
They need to explain.
Shielding? Ew, why are you shielding? Go away.
Devin, all that clicking is Diablo clicking. They call me out on it every time. Whenever I hop on a call with them, if they hear me clicking furiously, it's because I'm playing Diablo.
Yep.
But Devin, that's all I got for this week. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about? Or you are super robot-y now. Wow, what is wrong? Oh, I just dipped into the red.
Yeah.
What is wrong with Discord tonight?
Discord's a Discord, you know, usual stuff.
I'm green again.
All right, me too. So, yeah. I mean, other than that, I mean, you know, we got Stranger Things that just popped out. That's always great. Actually, this season, I feel the season's good. I wouldn't put it... I think season 2 is better, in my opinion. But so far, so good on it. I got to finish watching it, so I can't fully, like, say it's better or worse.
I really enjoyed season 1.
Season 1's really good. Really, really good.
I have nothing bad to say about this season so far. I'm only halfway through.
No, same.
I am laughing, and I feel kind of bad for Will. Because all this motherfucking kid wants to do is play some D&D, and no one wants to play goddamn D&D with him
anymore.
Will
gets no love in any of those. Like, he's basically not in the first one at all.
Well, that's because he was captured the whole time.
Right, and then he rolls into the second one and gets fucking possessed.
Yeah, and goes into hiding.
And then the third one
is his
just
best role yet. He gets into character as Will the Wise or whatever.
Yeah. Will the Wise.
And no one wants
just
to fucking play.
Motherfuckers up like, you shall address me by my full name.
Yeah, man. Man, that'd be sweet.
That's why I'm gonna wake up with you one morning. I'm just gonna show up in like full Tez gear. You're like, get out of bed. Come on.
Yo, we doing this. It's like
I'm just gonna start slapping you with a stick and be like, boom. What are you doing? Why are you hitting me with a stick? Were you the DM? You control the NPCs. I hit NPCs with sticks. So
I want the D&D poke. I want the D&D poke.
Exactly.
Oh shit.
One Get day, out of bed.
When we hit the megabucks or the power.
That's a ball. Lot of that's a lot of molding. Jesus Lord.
Alright. Well, that's where we will end. We are just over the hour mark at this point.
Yay! Webby Reviews Battle Angel Alita. Woo!
Yep. I'm not. Hey, it's been a while since I did that much talking.
I know, and I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it. I mean, honestly, because we were kind of sitting here racking our brains. Like, I don't really. Because I mean, it's been kind of a crazy week for all of us. I haven't really had much to contribute to much of anything. I was just like, you know, I'm just a little, you know, Webby has covered the movie. He's watched it. Movie I've seen part of, but I kind of know enough about it where I don't care if he spoils anything for me, so go for it, and we'll see what happens.
Coming up on another episode of SU at another time, we will be talking about the Spooderman Into the Spooderverse on Spooderman. Netflix.
Oh, hey there, Spooderman. How's
hey,
it going?
Hey there, Spooderman.
Spooderman.
I watched it. Thought it was all right. Like, I mean, I don't know. It was all right. I might get some flack for that, but I've come to the realization.
You just thought it was all right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, Devin, when this came out and everybody went to the theater and saw it, all I saw on Facebook and all I saw in the fan chats were how great this fucking movie was, how awesome this movie was, how cool this movie was.
Webby. You have to realize something, though.
I've realized something.
As much as I like our fan chat, overhype a lot of movies.
No, it's not just that, though. It's not even overhyping. It's what I've come to realize is that when people do get hyped up about a movie,
you don't.
It ruins the movie for me more than a spoiler would.
I mean,
that bar is set at a really achievable, you know, place. And then every time somebody hypes up the movie, the bar just raises and raises and raises. And then when I see the movie, it does not exceed expectations. So, I mean, it was a good movie. I was entertained. But to me, it was all right.
That's why I don't hype movies up to anybody. Like, I never hype up movies. I just be like, it's a good movie.
Not true.
What movie did I hype up?
Me and you both hyped up Demolition Man.
Well, I
but
mean,
for Demolition good Man, goddamn but, reason.
No. I mean, like, I'm never going to hype up, like, I don't hype up new movies, people, or, like, movies to, like, I'm trying to sell somebody a movie. Like, if you haven't seen Demolition Man, that's just your problem, and there's something wrong with you at this point in time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, past that, I mean, Demolition Man is what that movie is. But I don't like hype up. Like, I'm not, like, if I went to the movie theater, right, and saw the new Spider-Man movie, even though I thought it was, like, the best movie ever, I'm not going to ever say it's the best movie ever.
Right.
To anybody. Because it's just, I just don't see where it really, because all opinions are objective. I'll say, like, something along the lines of, I thought it was one of the better done Marvel movies, or I'll say along the lines of something like that, where, you know, yeah, I mean, it hits pretty high on my ranking of Marvel movies, but I'm never going to sit there and be like, this is the best movie ever.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people said Wonder Woman was like the best movie ever. I think it's the best DC movie.
Best DC movie. Yeah.
By far. I don't think it's the best superhero movie I've seen.
No.
Probably not in the top five. Great movie, though. But not in the top five.
Agreed. Yeah, so Kurt or anybody else listening, if you guys message me on the various platforms that you know how to contact me and you ask me, oh, well, what were your thoughts on this movie? Insert movie here. Most likely I'm going to say, it was all right. So, unless you ask about Demolition Man, then I'm going to say, if you haven't seen it yet, go live your life.
Live your life. Precisely.
All right. So, Devin, we're going to wrap up. Where can people find you on the internets?
You guys can find me on Twitter at DMP underscore Pookie and on Twitch at PookieKilledMe, and also, as always, on eBay at MrPokeMan5000.
Oh, Mr. Pokemans. You guys can find me on, Devin. Fuck, we almost forgot.
Moment of Zen?
Moment of Zen with Devin.
I'm just not feeling Zen right now, but I mean, I can pull some out of my ass.
Hey, this is not about us, Devin. This is about the listeners.
See, this is where you're wrong.
No, it's about the listeners, Devin.
It's always about me. I'm a selfish person. But
that has been your moment of Zen with Devin.
Yes.
No.
All right, you want a moment of Zen? Moment of Zen with Devin. This is going to be out the ass, but I'm going to just say, can't build a house on a broken foundation. So, AKA, don't be giving people advice if your life's not in order. Get your life in order first and then give advice.
I could probably talk at length with you about that.
I'm aware. I mean,
but we're wrapping up.
It's a very
people come to me for advice.
For advice,
and my life is not in order.
I'm in the same boat. But all, I mean, also too.
But
I mean,
mine. Kind of my advice comes from a point of view of experience or witnessing somebody who has gone through the experience.
Right. So, but I mean, what I'm saying is,
by no means am I ever like, oh, someone who has, I'm in like a great place. This is how you get here.
Marital advice. I'm just going to throw that out. I mean, but some people may argue and say, well, they may give the best marital advice. It depends on the person. Because if the person is like, yeah, no, I mean, like, obviously 30 marriages, I mean, I hold some blame here. And why these marriages didn't work.
You've been married 30 times.
I hold some blame. You know? If they're the kind of person, they're like, well, man, these hoes ain't loyal. I'm perfect. I didn't do anything wrong in this situation. Then you probably don't want advice from them. And also, too, back to my original part of that was just you don't build a house on a broken foundation. You know, layers, people, especially people getting into new relationships. Make sure you're in a point where you're okay by yourself. I never understand people that try to build a relationship and be like, oh, we're going to grow together. You can grow together. That's fine. But you can't, you can complete each other and complete things, but that person cannot be the foundation of your life because they won't necessarily always be there. So you need to be solid by yourself before you push past that and try to incorporate somebody else. Some people may agree with me. Some people may not agree with me, but that's just how I feel. I mean, I seem to see more people be successful in their endeavors in life in general, in relationships in general, when they have a foundation where they are, they're solid by themselves, they're comfortable by themselves, and then they bring someone else in that and they grow from there. Because, I mean, you can always rebuild a house, but rebuilding the foundation's a bitch.
You can't finish your part of the puzzle if you're missing pieces yourself.
True.
Boom.
True.
Mic drop.
There you go. Mic drop. We out of here. Oh, hey, that's the gym order.
All right. Go. And as always, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Jax Forestwalker, all one word.
The question mark?
I stumbled on that one for a moment.
Jax Forestwalker, all one word?
On
follow on Instagram at PatrickDieWebster52.
On Twitch at DMWebby and on eBay at ThePokemans. 52.
Question mark.
52 question mark exclamation point.
Webby needs to capture exactly what I mean. I think 20 is it 28 variations? I want you to capture all the variations of unknowns because they just have letters of the, they're just shaped like letters of the alphabet.
What? There's alphabet Pokemans?
There's a Pokemon called Unknown that is literally just shaped like the different letters of the alphabet, and then there's a question mark and an exclamation point too.
For those of you listening, I have been playing Pokemans Y, I think.
Why?
And I'll have
that's
you know
the name of the game out of X's and a question, like why. Just why.
I'll have you know one of my, I don't even know how many boxes I get. I think like five or six. One of my boxes is full of Panchams.
Eventually, you get 31 boxes, so don't feel too bad.
Oh, I do?
As you go through the game, you get more boxes.
Oh, that's good.
As you see more Pokemon in the Pokedex, you'll get more boxes and shit.
I'll have more room for more Panchums. In any case, thank you all for listening and for taking the time to download or stream or listen to this on YouTube, because this gets released on YouTube. We love you, and thank you for listening. And until next week, fuck Booster Gold.
Fuck Booster Gold.
Oh, what? What? Why are you here? Where
did you what torment are you on?
Four. And I probably be cranking it up.
You want me to rush the wizard?
I'd rather just. You can, yeah, sure. I'd rather try to get some stuff for this monk, but we can actually rush it real quick.